Well, I'm excited to share with you this morning about an act of obedience, a habit that can change your life, every part of your life. And that is the act and the obedience in giving. Now, people will say, you shouldn't talk about money in church because I'm talking about financial giving. But I wonder why they say that. Because money is such a big part of our lives. And if God wants all of us, everything that we are, then we should talk about that part of our lives as well. We should talk about money because money handled unwisely and in an unhealthy way can lead to sorrow, and it can lead to anxiety and selfishness and greed, and it can even lead to bankruptcy. On the other hand, money handled in a healthy way can lead to joy and peace and contentment in our lives. Money given in a healthy way, giving as a whole, can reshape our hearts, the Bible tells us. Finally, I believe we should talk about money because Jesus talked about money. In fact, in the Gospels, the words we have of Jesus, he talks more about money than about any other subject. And I think that that is because money can take control of our lives. And we want God to be in control of our lives. The foundation of handling everything that we have is that it all belongs to God in the first place. In the book of Psalms, we hear this from Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. Everything, all that we have, all that we are, all that is the earth belongs to God. We didn't bring anything into this world, and we're not going to take anything out. We are simply given the privilege of being trustees of all that we've been given. And you know what the job of a trustee is. The job of a trustee is to handle the property or the money or whatever they're handling in the way that the owner would want it handled. And if we handle what God has given us in God's way, it will lead to peace and contentment and joy in our lives. God's plan for all of the money and the stuff that we have is that we give some of it. And if we practice giving as an act of obedience, as a spiritual act, it will bless us and it will change our hearts. Jesus taught about the use of what we had. And this is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Jesus said to those who were listening, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, I want you to notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, "Where your heart is, put your treasure there." It says, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be." In other words, this act of obedience, this spiritual act of giving, changes our hearts. Here's what happens then when we give, when we make a conscious decision to give. First, giving increases our faith. Giving increases your faith when you make a conscious decision to do it. Because when you give what God has called you to give, and you find that you still have enough or more than enough, then your faith increases, and the next time God asks you to step out and be bold, you'll be more brave to do that because you'll know that God's got you. God's behind you. If God calls, God provides. So the spiritual act of obedience in giving increases our faith. Secondly, giving enlarges our love. When we make a commitment to give, to some area or in some place, we are making an investment in that. If it's giving to the church, you're making an investment in the church. If you're helping a nephew or niece or friend, you are investing in their lives. And your love for them, your interest in them, increases. So giving increases our faith. Giving enlarges your love. And finally, giving kills greed and enlarges generosity. As we give, we grow. We grow into more generous people. When greed takes over our lives, we become small. We become selfish. We only think about what we have and what we're going to do with what we have and who might want to take it. But when we give, our world is just enlarged. Our arms are open and we grow into generous people. And when you think about the generous people you know, they are just wonderful people to be around because they're not only generous in giving stuff, they're generous in giving their love. They're generous in giving their encouragement. They're generous in caring. Giving kills greed and enlarges generosity. Giving is something that God wants for us, not that God wants from us. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God doesn't need our giving, but God wants to teach us that act of obedience in order to bless our lives. So we give because we are thankful for all that God has given to us. We give because we are trustees, caring for what was given to us. We give as a spiritual practice, and we give in order to grow our generosity. The next question would be, how does God want us to give? And I believe, like all spiritual practices, God wants giving to be a habit. And I believe God wants us to give regularly, deliberately, and proportionately. In the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul gives this advice to the church that he founded in Corinth. And this is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. He says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn, so that collections need not be taken when I come. And when he talks about whatever extra here, he's talking about whatever's left over after our basic needs are served, our need for food and shelter and clothing. The rest is left over. And he says, put aside whatever is left over. In other words, we are to give regularly, he says, on the first day of every week. Now, for us, that might be, that regularity might be when we're paid. In our family, we get paid on the 15th and the last day of the month, the 30th or 31st. And so that's when we put aside our offerings, and we do it first so that we don't think we have it for other stuff. So we are called in the scriptures to give regularly. And he says, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you have, the abundance that God has given you. In other words, do it deliberately. Decide and put it aside and trust that God will take care of you. God calls us to give regularly, deliberately, and proportionately. Now, in the book of Malachi that Mary Ann read for us, one of the verses that she read was, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Now, tithe is not a word that most of us know or use in everyday conversation, but tithe simply means 10%. Tithe, 10%. Now, some of you may be saying, oh, that's really a lot, and that would really be difficult. But you find, if you make that commitment to God, that somehow God's arithmetic isn't the same as our arithmetic. That God gives us enough with the 90% that's left over in order to take care of all of our needs. The guidance of the scriptures in the Old Testament is a tithe, is 10%. But in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul continues to teach about giving. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, he teaches this to his churches. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. So the Old Testament talks about a tithe, but the New Testament talks about giving sacrificially, giving more than you think you can, giving out of what you have so someone else can live and be cared for, and so that God's ministries can flourish. As you are thinking and as we are preparing next week for Consecration Sunday, and as we are preparing to make a deliberate commitment, there may be a couple of things that you're thinking about that. First, you may be thinking, we just don't think we can give 10%. That's just not a place where our family can be right now. However, we want to make a commitment to give proportionately. So we're going to try giving, let's say, 2% or 3% or 5%. We're going to start there, and we're going to trust that over the years, God will help us to increase it, maybe 1% a year, until we get to that place of 10%. Or you may be thinking, we've been thinking about tithing for a lot of years, and I think this is the year that God wants us to do that. And so as a family, we're going to make that commitment this year, and we're going to see what God does with that, and we're going to believe that God is going to care for us with the other 90% that's left over. And again, there may be some of you sitting here today who have given 10% all of your life, and you may be thinking to yourself, you know, that's not even a sacrifice anymore. God has so richly blessed us in our lives that maybe that's not enough. Maybe this is the year we want to step up beyond a tithe. You have to know in your own heart. You have to ask God what God is calling you to give. And then I invite you to make that commitment next week, to make it deliberately, to make it regularly, that you're going to do it regular, and make it some proportion of what God has given you. Randy and I, in our lives, have evolved with this giving thing. Before we got married, we were both trying to give 10%, and so when we got married, we decided that that would be our commitment. And we did that. We gave 10% out of what was left over after we paid our taxes. And that is a generous way to give. But as we went on in our life, we began to say to each other, you know, we get something for those taxes that we pay. We get roads to drive on, we get police protection and fire protection, and we get a government that mostly works, and we get services for those taxes. And so shouldn't we be giving out of our gross, out of the amount that we get before taxes? And so after a number of years, we evolved our giving into that. And then later, not too many years ago, we began to say to ourselves, you know, we don't own a house. All of our life, we've lived in a church-owned parsonage. So we don't pay the kind of bills that everybody else pays, with rent and electricity and all of those bills. And shouldn't we be giving 10% of what that is worth? And so we evolved into figuring out what's the rental value of the house that we live in, and what's the value of the insurance that the church pays for us, and giving 10% of that. And I have to tell you that, again, God's arithmetic, sometimes you don't understand how it works out, but God has just richly blessed us. We don't want for anything. And God has allowed us to move in our lives to that place. How does God want us to give? God wants us to give regularly, as a spiritual practice, deliberately and proportionately. And so I invite you during this week, as we prepare for Consecration Sunday next week, to ask God, what is it, how much do you want us to give to the ministry here at Fishing Creek Salem Church? I invite you to be bold, to answer God's call, and to see how God will bless you and what God will do with your life through that obedient spiritual act of giving. Amen.